Good morning, and welcome to Circles of Prosperity with Dr. Reggie Johnson and Cynthia Johnson. We're your hosts this morning, this fabulous Friday. Fabulous Friday. We're going to move into Chapter 9 today and talk about the plate of life. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our opening prayer this morning?
Yes. Heavenly Father, Mother God and Goddess, balancer of the universe and birther of all life, we thank you for this wonderful day, Friday, the end of the week, but the beginning of possibilities and the beginning of everything that we want to happen. As we take steps every day, every waking moment of this life, we walk into a brand new dimension, a new experience that life has to offer us, and we are the engineers. The earth and her plates, as they move, we can feel them because we're tuned in to the ultimate reality, and we thank you, God, for everything that we are. We bring possibilities and the potential of who we are in every given moment, in love, in energy, in light, in peace. And as we listen to these nuggets this morning, we are guided with the navigational expertise of the Holy Spirit through all of us as we learn to listen with new ears and to hear things we never heard before, and let our heart take wings in the glorious reality on this planet. We thank you. We believe it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Oh my goodness. This is the time to imagine what life might be like if you were able to manifest what you really want. How would you orchestrate your life if there were no limits to what you were able to have or to do? If you could start again at the very beginning or anywhere in between, how would your story read? How would your journey end? And that is a good place to begin. How would your journey end? Working backward now from a vantage point, of the end of your life, having created it as perfection, and having accomplished all you sought to, having experienced all you hoped to, and having tasted all you wish to, and having manifested the highest possible expression of your own dream of physical reality, where would you be now? If you were taking your final breaths and watching an instant replay of all of it in your mind's eye, how would it feel to you? Would there be contentment? Would there be joy in the moments of the culmination of your life story? Would there be any reluctance whatsoever to move on? Just breathe now. And take a time to look at it. This is the time to dream your dream as it can be. Please hear me. This is the time to dream your dream as it can be. for all of it can be. What remains to be seen is what of it, from the realm of all possibilities, you will choose to experience. When you are presented with an enormous table laden with foodstuffs and delectable confections and one average sized selections, do you put on your plate? Because all will not fit. And to sample more than a few savory bits would grow to be distasteful. Yet all the choices are right there, just awaiting you. All potentiality have already manifested as possibility. So which then do you choose to experience consciously? And so naturally the question arises, how many plates is one allowed to have? And in answer, there is no limit to the number of plates that one may take and fill to the brimming if so desired. Because the rule is only one plate may be taken on each visit to the table, and a fresh plate must be taken should one desire to visit the table again. That's the only rule. So you are not required to finish everything you have put on your plate. Perhaps in anticipation you have created a plate laden with fruit. And after mouthful of this sweet, delectable fruit, well, the fruit begins to appear less appealing. And after a while, one may regret putting so much fruit on the plate and choose not to experience what remains. And one would feel in that moment quite satisfied as far as fruit is concerned. Yet there would be the sense that something was left to be desired. Somewhere there still might be a craving for spice and an appetite for the adventure of the table. But until the fruit plate was turned in and cleaned of its offerings, or not, another fresh plate was not possible. And a bit of time would need to be allowed before one could digest all the fruit and be ready to appreciate the delights of the plate filled with spice. So this ritual can be performed endlessly. Any of an infinite number of combinations of possibilities can be placed on a clean plate in the experience of just visiting the table. Yet eventually, you tire of the table. Eventually, you have tasted and satisfied yourself with so many variations in so many things. That one does not feel the need to experience the table. One becomes aware that there is not the hunger for the selections on the table that once there was. And in fact, one becomes aware that one is able to live quite happily without visiting the table at all. For the fullness of all the experiences at the table leaves one infinitely nourished, and one feels quite content to be still and just to be. So that is the stage of beingness that many of you are encountering in these times, having tasted the indescribable joy of just being. One feels less inclined at a soul level to spend yet another large chunk of time on yet another visit to the table. For in between visits to the table, there would have been periods of resting and digesting, where varying levels of just being in the stillness, the isness, have been experienced. And in fact, there you sit now with quite a full plate, feeling less and less inclined to follow through with mouthful after mouthful of what you once imagined would be so enjoyable. And instead you remember on a level you cannot even identify how absolutely wonderful it was when there was no plate at all and no table. Because somewhere within, you are able to recreate the conditions from that other interim state of being. And you choose in isolated moments to just take a break from the brimming plate to just be. Eventually, it becomes so obvious that the experience of the isness is so satisfying that isness becomes one's priority, plate or no plate. And when confronted with that realization, it is clear at a soul level that one may be complete with the table, and one understands that it is perfectly wonderful to just be, even though there is technically still a plate in your hand. Until one is at that point, however, there is still this spectacular table. And the truth remains that one stands before the table in every given moment, able to create and recreate the variations on the plate at will. So you're not stuck with an unappetizing plate of leftovers simply because you have tasted some of the selections on the plate, and you are not required to force yourself to consume what's left on that plate simply out of habit. The opportunity to transform that picked over plate into one that is just covered with fresh, tempting selections is always there. And that possibility is yours to exercise at all times, at will. For the plate is not one conceived in limitation. Its offerings are only as one perceives them to be. And as one rises to the fullness of one's ability to manifest one's reality and to create what one truly wishes to experience, there is no limit to what you can put on that plate. The plate of life. The plate of life. The plate of life is a reflection of your choices in every given moment. Whether the plate appears full or it appears empty to others is irrelevant to the way in which it nourishes your state of beingness in any given moment. So a pristine, empty plate could be perceived by some to be a reflection of deprivation and a cause for concern or compassion. Yet to the one who holds that plate, its fresh emptiness is a reflection of one who has chosen to travel unencumbered. That place, austere appearance, may well be just a reflection of an awareness of the riches of unmanifested experience of the world within that others cannot see in physical form. But to attain that level of beingness, your plate, by definition, would have to be cleared of superfluous choices. There would have been an awareness in the process that you cannot travel with ease focused on the metaphysical while bearing the burden of a heavily laden plate, and radical choices would have been made that would enable you as an individual to explore the unlimited possibilities of flying to the heights of human experience without having to be concerned with balancing one. And so in these times, many of you have sought instinctively to simplify your experience in this lifetime and to stand ready to teach others by example to do the same. But still, there are others who are in this interim stage of transformation, and they're wrestling with the logistics of integrating their newfound awareness with commitments that have been made while creating a life of complexity. It is the ones who stand on the brink of spiritual breakthrough and have achieved, although fleetingly, a connectedness with multidimensional aspects of themselves who feel most poignantly the contradictions posed by bridging two worlds. But in the days to come, these ones can anticipate a confrontation with their own inner knowingness regarding the direction in which they perceive their lives to be headed, and many will succumb to their own reluctance to dismantle the entanglements that have defined their existence thus far. We do not wish to imply that it is in any way inferior to have manifested an accumulation of belongings on your journey. Get all the stuff you want. These are the trappings of an incarnate experience. Yet, it is important that you consider the price you may be paying in terms of self-compromise in order to maintain a lifestyle whose relevance may be obsolete. Because when the motives for material advantages were based in a mindset of competitiveness, which was a manifestation of ego, the sense of satisfaction that had been anticipated and hoped for may not have been realized. And one is left then with the empty evidence of material gain that is devoid of the passion with which one came into form. And it is that passion that seeks expression. For that is the driving force of creation which powers all life. And when the zest for living and expressing and creating is missing from one's day-to-day activities, one has essentially disconnected from one's own divine essence and from the interconnectedness of all life. And the key to that connectedness lies not in whether or not one is rich or has a rich array of a selection on one's plate of life, but in whether one is able to express and to experience one's joy of living through those choices. This was such a beautiful lesson. I wanted to read it all the way through because I love the allegory of the plate of life and how we are able to move out and make choices of what we want to experience. And they start the chapter by saying, what do you want your life to look like at the end of this journey in physical form? What would you be satisfied? Would you be satisfied? recognizing, number one, there is no limitation to what choices you can make. You can just, the only thing is that you can only experience one choice at a time, and it goes from moment to moment. How many of you, and I know I've talked to quite a few of you, and I know that there was a moment when you realized, you know, the path I'm on is not fulfilling me. I'm not happy. I'm not in my joy. That means you've gone to the table, you've tasted this, and you've had the fruit, and you've had the salad, and you've had the dessert, and you're saying, you know, that was cool for a moment, but now I'm ready for something more. And that something more is what we are yearning for. They define it as your passion. Where you are enjoying life. What gives you joy? The world has indoctrinated you to believe, to chase after things. And you know, these are powerful teachings. The law of attraction is a powerful teaching because it's the basis of life. If the law works whether you want it to work or not, it's going to work because that's how it was created. That's God's creation. But they took the law of attraction and made it a part of this world as a part of God's world so that people were jumping on board to go buy junk, manifest junk. And you know, I love the people, the consciousness of oneness, because it says, okay, that's all right. But if you're doing it from a place of ego, if you're doing it because you want to be able to say, oh, this is mine, oh, look how I'm living, they define it as being competitive. How many of us have, you know, we want a car, but we see somebody else that has that car and we want it too? I mean, if I go get a car, I want to move into the consciousness of having a car because I love driving it. Not because of what it means, the status symbol of it. That's feeding ego. But because I just want to enjoy it. It's giving me joy. Years ago, my friend bought a Saab, and Reggie says she sobs every month when she makes the payment. Is that car giving her joy? Every month she complained about the payment. And so then at that point she's trapped. But according to the allegory we've had here, she can go take that plate and find something else that will bring her joy. And that's what I'm asking you guys to pay attention to. Are you doing what brings you joy? And you're making choices every moment, not just for today or not just every 3 months or whatever. You are making choices every moment of the day. And as you are making those choices, are you in your joy? Many who read these words have experienced the agonies of realizing that the scenario that they have spent most of their lifetimes constructing no longer delivers the satisfaction that had been envisioned. I am so guilty of that. I'm raising my hand. I don't know about anybody else on this phone, but I'm going to tell you that the best gift that I received was being laid off. And I've shared this with you guys. It was the best gift. At the time, it was painful. I had never been laid off before. But when I look at it and go back and look over it, I realized how much in error I was. I was in error in thought. And it moved me to the place where all I wanted to do was be in that isness, in that stillness, connected to my divinity. It forced me there. I won't say it forced. That's not. I grew into that. I grew into it. I was in so much pain. All I could do was fill myself with the Word of God. That's all I... But to ease my pain. And out of that, so many revelations came to me. And I've been on this journey for over 30 years. But I came out of a spiritual drought when I lost what I thought was so important to me. And I've gained so much more in the process. I have a deeper understanding of these teachings, so much so that I'm sharing them with you. And you are a blessing to me. The opportunity that you allow me every morning to talk to you and to minister to you and to awaken you to how powerful you are is so fulfilling to me. I have so much joy from it, so much passion for it. When I get off this call in the morning, I mean, the rest of my day is just heaven. It's like, I don't know what else to do. I've been so filled with joy, everything else is boring. I want you to have that experience. I can't force it on you. All I can do is try to peel away that ego just a little bit at a time, like a banana, you know? Because inside of you is that delicious divinity. Peel away the fear. Peel away the ego so that you can see how glorious you are inside and how much power God has given you. And that gives me joy. That feeds my soul. When your deepest need as a spiritual being is repressed or sacrificed to the maintenance of a surface lifestyle built on a foundation of material gain, the energy that seeks expression will set about to manifest that change if those choices are not made consciously. I mean, God, my goodness, did you guys just hear what they were saying? When your deepest needs as a spiritual being are repressed or are sacrificed to the maintenance of a surface lifestyle built on the foundation of material gain, when you are seeking things, the stuff, a lifestyle, and sacrificing your spiritual nature, those choices, that expression will set about to manifest that change if those choices are not made consciously. So when one has opened to the higher energies that are driving all creation toward oneness, it is not possible to continue to manifest conditions of separation in one's outer world. You're going to have a conflict at some point. That's what they're saying. Once you've kind of cracked that door to the awareness that you are divine, what is it that the Bible says? You can't worship mammon and God. Your divinity is going to push through. And that's where a lot of you are right now. That expression of divinity is pushing through, driving you forward. I'm going to end this topic this morning, and I'm going to open the lines up for questions or comments. So if you have a question or comment this morning, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. All righty. Then I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer on this fabulous Friday.
Okay. I appreciate everything that everybody does. Love you all. This was a great lesson for those who have ears. Father, let us know that what we do for ourselves selfishly dies with us. What we do for others and this world remains and is immortal. We're not built to be selfish. We're built to be connected soul to soul to God. I thank you for the energy of these lessons. They lift me up. Letting know our plate is never half empty. It is always full. This life is always brimming with opportunities, and we realize that every challenge is a blessing. Thank you that these plates in us are engineered by us and blessed by you. Let us step into the consciousness of love. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. I thank you for joining us today. I hope this lesson has been a blessing for you. It's definitely blessed me. And we're going to pick up with Chapter 9 on Monday and talk about confronting resistance and coming to terms with things that are no longer serving us. And we'll close out that chapter by recreating our life as a joyous reflection of who we really are. I love each and every one of you. Have a blessed weekend. Be safe. And we'll be here on Monday. God bless you.